So, here is a actually an order or a command given to approach and worship the Supreme Lord. And then the reasons are given. Now, please worship the Supreme Lord because He is Bhuta Nilayam, Devam, Suparnam, etc. The person who sees everything but cannot be seen. One cannot see Him. Yam pasyati na pasyantam. He sees you, but you cannot see Him. And His eyes, yasya chaksur narushyati, His eyes are never diminished, they're never destroyed, which means He's always seeing. In this way we have reasons given in the particular verse why we should worship the Lord. The simple reason is Bhuta Nilaya. He is the shelter and source of everything. All living entities, everything in the material world. He is the source, He is the cause, He is the shelter of everything. So He's the number one originator of everything. So that's a simple concept which is present in many religions of the world. God is the creator of everything. Therefore, we have to worship Him. So He's supreme. Devam. Of course, we know devatas are there also, devas, which means they're like heavenly beings. But the origin of the word deva is div, divyati, which means several things. One, it means playing. And so div means one who plays. One who doesn't have to work. He just plays all the time. So in other words, the Lord who performs pastimes. When we say pastimes, it means He's doing it this not because of any particular reason that I need something out of this particular act. So that's a pastime. So the Lord is doing it for His pleasure. Not because He has to do it for some other reason. So deva means one who plays. He is not dependent on any others. And the other meaning of div is to shine, divyati. So that's where we get things like divya gyanam, shining knowledge, transcendental knowledge, divyati. So the Lord actually is deva. He is the number one person who performs pastimes, and He is the one that shines and gives light to everything else. Secondarily, the devatas are there. They're also called deva because compared to us, they shine also and they do things that we cannot do. So devatas are secondarily called devas, and the Lord is the original deva. Of course, in this way, we can take all the names of the devatas and say they're actually names of the Supreme Lord. And this is exactly what the Brahma Sutras say. All the names in the Vedas are names of God. So we have Agni, which is fire. But what is the meaning of fire? The root of that is Ni, which means to lead. So number one leader is Supreme Lord. Agni is a secondary leader. Or Indra. Indra is the king. So the highest king is Krishna. He is the Supreme Indra. Shiva means auspicious. So the supreme auspicious person is Krishna. So we can think of all the names and of all the devatas, and actually we could say the original, the highest form of that devata is Supreme Lord. So Madhvacharya actually takes the Vedas and he says, actually the Vedas are not describing worship of devatas. They're actually describing primarily worship of the Supreme Lord, secondarily the devatas. So whoever mentions the deva, the name, he says, this actually means Vishnu. So, in this way, the names of the Lord are secondarily reflected in the names of the devatas. Of course, we have a simpler way of doing that. We have Krishna Das or Chaitanya Das. So we just give a name of the Lord and say Das afterwards. So in the same way, in the devatas or dasas. And they have the name of the Lord also. But they're dasas. So, therefore the number one person who plays, who has pastimes, is Supreme Lord. Not dependent on anyone. And he is the illuminator and shining one, full of all wonderful qualities and all knowledge. And therefore he is Deva. So we do not have all of these wonderful qualities. We have imperfections. We are affected by gunas in the material world. We possess material bodies with material qualities, covered by ignorance. So we cannot say we are divya, having all sorts of wonderful knowledge and qualities. It's all imperfect. Nevertheless, we aspire for all these things. So we should worship the Supreme Lord, because he is the embodiment of all wonderful qualities and knowledge. Yeah. And the third thing here is Suparnam, which literally means beautiful wings, which refers to a bird. Yeah. So he is the bird. So actually this is in reference to Shruti again, just like we had the verse, previous verse, which was a reference to the Isopanishad verse. So here we have Suparnam. So this makes a reference to many verses in the Upanishads that talk about two birds in a tree. And they're friends. So therefore, when we have the word Suparnam, it refers to the Paramatma, who is the friend of the Jiva. So in that description in the Upanishads, we have two birds in the tree. And they are friends. They are similar, and therefore friends. But one bird is eating the fruit of the tree, the other bird is looking at him. So the one bird who eats the fruit is the jiva. He is trying to enjoy in the material world. The tree is his body. The other bird is looking only. He's not enjoying the fruit of the tree. He does not involve himself in the material activities of his material body, which accrue karma. He's completely separate. So, though they are similar, because they're both birds, also different in their capacity. So, the Supreme Lord, as a bird, takes no part in the activities of the material world, though he's living in the body. He resides in the body, but he does not try to get enjoyment out of the material body and do activities to get that enjoyment. But the jiva does. The other bird does. So that is the difference. So Prabhupada here mentions that there were two functions of this Paramatma feature. Anyone remember those functions? He was the witness, the drashta, and the anumanta, the permitter. So he is seeing everything. So he has all knowledge of everything and all jivas and their actions and their desires and everything. So he's sitting there as a bird in the tree witnessing everything. And permitter, sanctioner of everything, anumanta. Which means nothing happens unless the Lord permits it. So we can say, well, then what is the free will of the jiva? If the Lord has to do everything, let's say you can do this, you can do this, and this, then the jiva wants to do something, what is his free will? Free will is that the Lord allows him to do everything within certain limits. Yeah? So he allows him, if you want to do this, do this, you want to do that, he permits it. How does he limit him? He limits in different ways. One is results. You can do the activity, you may not get the result. This is karma, law of karma. So you can work, 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 but you may not get any money. You may or you may not, according to karma. So in this way there's some limit. Connected to that is that every jiva has a material body. That material body is karma. And it sets limits on the jiva. So, the human being can want to do anything, but he cannot do everything. He cannot fly in the air by himself. Birds can do so, we cannot. So we can have the desire, but we are limited because of body, which is because of karma. So again, limitation because of karma. So therefore, we have desires, and to some degree we can fulfill it, but there's also the limitation of karma. So due to good karma, we can get intelligence. With that intelligence, we can invent airplanes and helicopters. Then we can fly. But we're limited. We cannot do it on our own. We have to pay money and do this and that and get on an airplane and endeavor to make better airplanes that don't crash or whatever. So limitation is still there. So the Lord is the permitter, but there's also the law of karma, which limits out how much we can fulfill our desires. So, in this way, the Lord has control. So what is this control based on? Just, I want to control everybody? No. It's based on His knowledge, because He's the witness. Because He knows everything about the jiva, then He will very justly allot karma in such a way to help each jiva. So it's for the benefit of the jiva. Because He knows everything about the jiva, then He permits according to certain restrictions for the benefit of the jiva. So therefore, He's always looking after the benefit. Therefore, He is the friend. So therefore, this bird is the friend because He is the permitter and He is the knower and He's acting for the benefit of the jiva. He fulfills His desires, but according to certain limitations to help the jiva. So therefore, He is the friend. A friend that helps you go to hell is not a good friend. Because it fulfills all your desires and let you go to hell? No, not a friend. And you stay there forever. No. So He's looking for the benefit of the jiva. So He knows everything, and then He makes plans on how to educate the jivas for their benefit. So this is the nature of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, He is the all-powerful one, being materially the source of everything, at the same time being the most knowledgeable and full of wonderful pastimes and bliss, and He's also the friend of the living entity. So why we shouldn't worship Him? If we respect and worship Him, then we can develop similar qualities. We can develop bliss like the Lord's bliss. We can develop knowledge like the Lord's knowledge. We can develop that friendship with the Supreme Lord. So in this way, we get great benefit from that. So the first two lines actually expand upon this idea of the Supreme Lord, who is the witness and permitter of everything. People cannot see Him, though He is with every living entity. Why we cannot see Him? He can see us, we can't see Him. So we're not actually equal. Two birds are in the tree. Jiva bird cannot see the Supreme Lord. Supreme Lord can see the jiva. Why? Because the jiva is ignorant. Because he's covered by ignorance, he has no qualification to see the Lord. That's how Prabhupada here quotes, Om Gyan Timurandasya. Jiva's eyes are covered by very deep darkness. Timurandasya. Agyana. But there is the possibility of removing the ignorance. Opening the eyes and giving them proper vision. How? By knowledge. Ignorance is the cause of our blindness and we cannot see the Lord. Knowledge is the opposite. So we get knowledge, then we can see the Lord. So therefore it says Gyana Salakaya. A salaka is a little stick. We get the knowledge in the form of an anjana. Anjana means ointment. Like when you have infection on your skin, you have to put ointment on it, you rub it, and stick a band-aid on it, and then it helps cure it. So we have ointment for the eye. for the blindness of the eye. Like cataracts or something. You put this ointment on it and then you can see. So this is the ointment of knowledge. Jnana Anjana. Ointment of knowledge. Apply to the little stick. And then you can see. Knowledge removes ignorance. So by this process, eyes become open and they can see properly. So, in this particular verse, who gives the knowledge? Guru. So it is by his mercy that we get the knowledge, by which we remove the ignorance, by which we're able to see the Lord. So though the jiva is different from the Lord in that he is covered by ignorance, possibility is there that he could get his ignorance removed. So, how is it removed? By knowledge. How do we get the knowledge? Through devotees, through guru. Why not just knowledge? Just read a book and get the knowledge. So as we know, knowledge has several layers of meaning. It's deep, not just superficial. So real knowledge is not just memorizing something or taking a fact like you do in school. You memorize all the things in the book and then you write an exam and you just say the facts all over again. That is not real knowledge. So, the scriptures are different. Yes, they are scriptures. But if we just memorize all the scriptures, that also is not very good. It's not real knowledge. We also have to understand the real meaning of the scriptures. But how do we get the real meaning of the scriptures? By devotion. If we don't have the devotion, we don't get the right meaning. How do we get the devotion? That we get through the guru, that we get through the devotees. If we don't have devotees, we'll have jnanis. If we don't get the devotion, then we can't see properly. We don't get the proper knowledge. Yeah? So therefore, we have Bhagavatam, and then we have devotees to explain Bhagavatam. Then we get the knowledge. If the devotees aren't there, then even the Bhagavatam will have the wrong meaning to it. Yeah? So this is the process by which the jiva advances in the material world. Ultimately, the whole process, spiritual process, is to accept, realize, and then develop a relationship with the Supreme Lord through the process of bhakti. So, that is indicated here, of course, by upadavata. You should all worship the Supreme Lord. That's the bhakti process. What does worship imply? Recognition of the position of the Supreme Lord. Consequently, respect for that position, but not just out of fear or whatever, but because he is the friend, out of affection. So that becomes bhakti. So this verse actually nicely explains the whole process of bhakti, why we have to perform bhakti to the Supreme Lord, because of his proper position. And the Lord, of course, responds to the jiva very nicely. So, if one is in the material world and simply subject to karma, the Lord, as Paramama, acts and he sees and witnesses and permits according to karma and doing all that. When a person becomes a devotee of the Lord, the Lord acts a little bit differently, not simply as the witness and the permitter. Because he's dealing with a devotee. So, the functions become a little bit different. Yes, the Lord knows. He is the witness still because he's witnessing the devotee. He understands the sincerity of the devotee. And, therefore, he will make arrangements for the devotee so he can progress in bhakti. So, in that sense, his anumanta position is not karma that he arranges for the jivas. He makes arrangements for the devotee and their devotional progress. Sometimes he may give material facilities. Sometimes he may take away the material facilities. And this has got nothing to do with karma. So very good karma, you can be very rich. If the Lord wants to take everything away, in spite of your karma, and then you're left with nothing, you surrender to the Lord. So for the devotee, the Lord does not permit in the same way. His anumanda function differs. He's acting only for the surrender of the jiva to him, what is beneficial for his devotional progress. Therefore, the Lord functions differently. The Lord who functions in that way is called Bhagavan. The word Bhagavan is analyzed by Jiva Goswami as meaning Ba, Ga, and Va. Bhagavan. Ba meaning Bharta. Bharta means one who nourishes the devotion of the devotee. He supports that devotion. He helps them progress in his devotion. Aga stands for Gamayata, one who produces results for the jiva, makes him go to Vaikuntha or the spiritual world, gives him wonderful qualities, gives him a spiritual body. Gamayata. Va. Means vas, to live. So, who lives? The devotees live in the Lord. That means the Lord is always thinking of the devotees in his mind. And the Lord is in the devotees. The devotees are always thinking of the Lord. So therefore, Bhagavan is an expression of the Lord with his devotional sentiments. Not just anumantan, upadrasta, witness and permitter and doing karma and all that. No. He is looking after the devotional progress of the devotees in the material world and in the spiritual world. He is nourishing and constantly increasing the variety of affection and devotion and bliss. So therefore the Lord acts a little bit differently in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, we can't apply that the devotee cannot see him. Yes, the devotee can see him in the spiritual world. Of course, even then, if the Lord wants to disappear, he can disappear. So therefore, Krishna left Vrindavan when he's 12 years old, didn't come back. But since he wants, he can also disappear, and you cannot see him. However, then Uddhava came back, and then the teaching of Uddhava is, it looks like the Lord is gone, but if you internally concentrate, then he'll appear again. So even if he's gone, he'll manifest himself to the devotee who has pure bhakti. So then you can see him again. So therefore, the Lord lives in the devotees. The devotees, if they think of him, then they can realize him at all times. You can do that, provided you recognize that the devata is only a servant of the Lord, not equal to him. He's not a separate god. So that's permitted. And therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, it says, those who worship the devatas to get results, and they go to Svargaloka, and then they fall down, that is avidipurvakam. It's the wrong worship of the devatas. You're thinking that devata is giving this result, not the Supreme Lord. If we see that the devata, but we recognize the Lord is superior and the Lord is giving him the power, and we worship the Lord first and then the devata, there's no problem with that. But we have to recognize the superiority of the Supreme Lord. We worship the devatas as servants of the Lord, as devotees of the Lord.
பையன் பேசி பாருங்க, தெலுங்கு
பண்ணிக்கிட்டு
இருக்கேன். என்ன பண்றாங்க?
சேலரி வேணுமா? வேணாம்.